All right, it is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Here.
Co-Chair Lennon. Commissioner Veazey. Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Commissioner Mezzatesta.
Here.
Commissioner Cadleck. Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt. We have 4 voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. Yes, just please and just state your name.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Rubin. I live at 411 Ashland 6B. That away. Whatever. So I have been struggling. I'll tell you a little story. when we had waste management doing our composting. Temple Har Zion, I belong to Temple Har Zion. They composted, we composted, and then you switched to electrical recycling and it stopped, just stopped. Took a while for me to call. They're really hard to get a hold of, I have to tell you. So, I got a hold of somebody finally who had to, who was connected to the composting and, and she first said she couldn't compost us. Meanwhile, I want to tell you, I think Grace Lutheran is being composted. They're right behind us. They weren't going to come compost Har Zion. So it's like, hey, why not? Why not? So then she, so when I told her that the church across the street was being composted, she said, oh, well, okay, let me see. Let me get you a hold of somebody else. And she got me a hold of somebody else. And she said, okay, we can compost you. Only organics, napkins, and newspaper. Actually, it's a bigger list, maybe. But it's just all, as she said, nothing that will not decompose within 30 days. Okay, so I'm in the Interfaith Green Network, and I'm connected to all the churches, all the faith groups. The ones in Oak Park, they compost plates, utensils, cups. They're buying that. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Lakeshore Recycling isn't composting that. They're dumping it in the landfill. This is what we're all thinking. Because if they see something that's not compostable, that they won't compost, they're not going to tell you. They will just put it in the landfill, which means that we're paying for the service. We're paying for the compostable items, and they're throwing it in the landfill. Now, I don't quote me that they're doing that, but we couldn't figure out what they were doing. So last week, I went to the Oak Park Sustainability Commission to ask them this question. And they said, well, the churches may be able to compost all that stuff because they might have a level of service that will take the compostable plates, cups, and utensils. Well, I haven't gotten a response from all the churches about that yet. The Interfaith Green Network meeting is going on right now. So I'm going to ask that question. But everybody has to, I don't know if there are different levels of composting service you can get. The problem is, and so I have a call into Lakeshore to find out if we can get another level of composting service. But this is all really confusing. We all are paying for compostable items, and we don't know what's happening to them, or we can't use them. So this is, it could be a real waste of money. So can you help me?
Well, I'd be willing to call LRS because we have them at our condo. That's it happens to be the service we've got, not compost.
I know, so do we.
But, we know people there. I could try giving a call and find out, just ask them what their levels, what service they have. I'll give a call and see what I can find out for you.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
Because I'm curious about that, and I wasn't aware that they have programs. I mean, I know they do the individual households, of course, but I wasn't aware that they had a program that they.
Well, you have to make, contract. It's all a special different contract.
But I didn't even know that it was available, and that's very interesting. So I'll pursue that.
They made it really hard to find out.
Well, I'm kind of obnoxious, so I'll see what I can do.
And the thing is, that probably all this compost, Oak Park compost and our compost, probably goes to the same place. So that's what's really puzzling. So if you could do anything to, because you as a village have more power than just one faith community.
Well, also, you know, I like to collect information because people do ask and they expect that, you know, a commissioner might be able to have the answers. And I like to know this stuff because somebody else is bound to want to know. So I'll follow up for you.
So apparently people in IGN, the Interfaith Green Network, would also like to know about how we can maybe compost also in multifamily units. You know, above a what, four units. So that's a question that they would like to know, you know, apartment buildings, condos.
Well, I think there's programs, but I mean, you know, it's separate and you pay for it and all the rest of that. So like I tried to talk because I'm on the board. I tried to talk to my group about it. They just don't want to spend any more money than we're already spending, but.
Yeah. Well, the other problem is if somebody doesn't put the right stuff in and then you have a problem. Yeah, I know. I'm just, they asked that question.
Yeah, I'll if I can get to somebody, and I think I can, because we have a representative we deal with, I guess.
Good.
I'll see what variety of programs they got, because I think it'd be good to know anyway. Sure.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Yes, you do.
Well, and I this has come up before for the village composting, and so maybe Seth should reach out as well, because we want to make sure that our residents have the right information in terms of our village composting.
Can and can't be composted in the village collection is within the contract, and then in terms of some of these materials that can and can't be composted, it really comes down to the facility that they're then taken to. You know, I know items such as meat are allowed in the village composting program. Others, it is. And there is one facility that does accept it and has a process for helping break down those sorts of organics. Others simply limit it to yard waste and sort of vegetable food scraps, vegetation food scraps, and sometimes soiled paper products. So it really just depends on the facility that's being delivered to. But then in terms of what is being offered, like Luis had mentioned, it really just comes down to the provider who is willing to work on a contract to include composting for the multifamily ones.
But if, I want to say, if there's more than one level of service and I could have worked out a contract with them, they never told me that. They said, this is what we can do for you. This is it.
Another possibility might be that it comes down to quantity. So for an individual household, you know, they're probably thinking it's okay to have a plate, but it's not okay to have 100. You know, there's a balance in the system.
You're right.
So yeah. there might be different responses given depending on, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I argued with them about that, and I think that was their answer too. You know, well, one pizza box.
Right. But you know, if you have 50, it's gonna overload the system. So,
well, anyway, to find out, because again, the point is that we are that even in Oak Park, the churches are paying for these items and putting in the compost. And if LRS isn't taking them here or in Oak Park, we need to know, because that's just a waste of money. Okay, thanks.
Moving on to the next item, adoption of last month's meeting minutes. Does anybody have any corrections, clarifications, caught any typos I made, anything like that? Did I? All right. That we need a motion to adopt. All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Co-chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Vesey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. Meeting minutes are adopted. Moving on to commissioner updates.
Well, I can just confirm that we're all set up with the library for April 13th, which is a Sunday at 2 o'clock for my reluctant climate change warrior speech.
What's the date on that?
The 13th of April.
April.
And that's just before Earth Day is, I think, the 22nd, maybe. It's the following week anyway. So that's Earth Week, I guess you could say.
And I do have that up on the web sustainability part of the website, and then we'll plug it in the newsletter as we get closer as well.
Yeah, my PowerPoint deck, well, I did it in a PDF so anybody can read it. But yeah, it's out on the site, and we'll make the URL available. I'll mention that at the presentation. So tell your friends.
What time?
2 o'clock.
Okay.
None of this 10 o'clock in the morning Saturday stuff. I'm not awake. Yeah. 2 o'clock I can do.
I just have a few things. The Oak Park Eco Extravaganza's second annual event will be on April 5th at 10 a.m. And it's just, if you didn't go next year, it's a bunch of groups end up tabling. This year, they've invited more, so it's going to be in the community like space at the main library, and then the veterans room, the art gallery, and then the a little into the teen space. And last year I was told it was 100, and they're hoping to get more. So if you want to tell your friends, and we might want to shout it out in the newsletter. Also, tomorrow is C4, which for those of you who aren't familiar is the Cross Community Climate Collaborative founded, by our mayor, Kathy Ducey, Vicky Scammon, Oak Park, and Katrina Thompson, Mayor Broadview. They're having, oh, where is it? I had it. A fundraiser tomorrow at Roberts. Where is it? At Roberts West Side. And it starts at 6:30. If you want to come listen to music, it's featuring the Cars. There's one River Forest resident, a part of the car. So if you want to come jam out to music with me, let me know.
And they're raising funds for what specifically?
The Cross Community Climate Collaborative, which works in the communities. Here, let me just read it up.
Oh, no, I know the organization, but it's not for a specific project. It's for the organization.
No, it's for the organization, yeah.
Okay, great.
And I just want to shout out how civically engaged Oak Park is. There was 89 people registered for this climate candidates form yesterday, and 110 people showed up. And I think I'd be willing to take it on. I know we can't do it as a commission, but next time there's a contested election, I think we should hold a candidates form. Okay. Cool. That's all my updates. Thanks.
Anyone else? All right, moving on. We had talked about the proposed tree preservation ordinance a bit last time. Updated some language in there to have sort of a lesser replacement burden for single family properties. Basically just a one-to-one, remove one tree, plant one tree requirement. And then getting some more feedback from our public works superintendent, you know, the sort of recommended or well-suited species list for private property is actually much broader than what we use for the parkways. And so he had referred me over to what we also reference in our parkway tree planting guide, which is the Morton Arboretum Northern Illinois tree species list. And you can sort of look through it by column, but it offers a wider variety of trees, including some flowering trees and things like that that we wouldn't plant in a parkway, but would be great ecologically and sort of aesthetically within private properties. And then he said the one-to-one is pretty standard for the Tree City USA designation standards. So this is, again, a small step in that direction, but one that I think is pretty clearly outlined in, you know, looking at what other communities have. It's either extremely sort of restrictive and strict tree cutting guidelines or nothing at all. The village is currently in the latter camp. So this would just, other than for the institutional properties that already existed, but this would just be sort of a small step for including single family residential properties in that as well. And then the other question that came up was the hardship question. I did my best to try and explain that in the memo. And let me see, I will need to reread it to remember what I said. So that language exists basically to, just reading. So how it exists currently is like for these larger institutional properties, if the removal of that tree is sort of necessity for a proposed structure because any other option, whether it's, you know, completely changing the grade of something or relocating a proposed addition to a building or a new building where it doesn't really make sense on the property, it sort of focuses in on things like that that would just create an undue hardship. Given the, you know, single one-to-one tree replacement for these single family homes that we would be requiring, it's unlikely that anyone would meet that hardship. So they would still be required, if they were to remove a tree to build an extension, they would need to plant another tree in its place, assuming it was an oak or elm greater than 20 inches in diameter breast height. So clear as mud.
Well, if somebody put an addition on the back of their house, I assume that they could, and took a tree down, they could put a tree perhaps in a different spot in their yard.
Yeah. Any tree planting, it's presumably a different location within the yard, or they pay the fee in lieu and then it goes to a dedicated tree planting fund for public property trees.
So I was noticing that the, when you get down to the replacement, that multifamilies, the exchange rate, multifamily residence is still, you know, still like 30 to caliber 30, 35 is still 11 trees. I'm just wondering, you know, Luis was bringing up, there's like absolutely no room for that on her multifamily. And any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know what our yard looks like. Can you imagine if I took a tree down? I couldn't put up two for one, let alone anything else.
Yeah, that seems difficult, right?
How did they come up with that number anyway?
Who actually controls this one, Seth? This ordinance, because we got into it because of the residential piece wanting to have something included.
Yeah, so this ordinance is within the zoning code. So this is the zoning administrator, which is the village administrator, and then the zoning board of appeals is the general regulatory board for that. So that multifamily one, that is existing. Yes, it already says that. Correct. Yeah, the single family residential is the
I can't imagine anybody adheres to this.
They don't. We didn't. We had to take a tree down, a small tree, relatively small, but it was diseased. And I read, you know, and yeah, the existing was clear as mud. So I called and spoke to somebody and explained the situation and said that the spot is diseased. We can't plant anything there for many years, and nothing should have been planted there in the first place because it's under the story of a big tree and it's just not a good spot. And I explained the situation. I said, do we have to replace it? And he said, well, no, that's, you know, we wouldn't.
Hardship.
Yeah. Well, but it was just a casual conversation. And I said, is somebody going to come around and notice that I took a tree down? You know, he said, well, we don't have time for that, you know. So.
Concordia had to replace a whole bunch of trees last decade. And it was very, very expensive for us. I think they had to freeze hiring for like a couple positions until they had to replace all these trees for whatever project they did. But I know that's one of the sore points whenever we have to like modify or we have to modify design because of the tree ordinance here. Yeah.
Well, but even if you've got a big property, the ratio there, I mean, it's not healthy. You're not supposed to plant trees too terribly close together. And if you've taken down a large tree and you're supposed to put up something else that's relatively large and will get larger. I mean, in Oak Park for a while, they had trees, I think it was 25 feet apart or something. And they were too close and they were having problems with that. And I don't know if they ever changed it or not, but we complained on our block because they'd plant stuff and it'd die because it was, you know, not in the right spots. And that was only 1-to-1.
As a suggestion, I would just say that, you know, and this is going to go forward to another commission for insertion, is that we ask them to include the piece on the residents and strongly suggest that they take a look at their requirements and do something other than basic arithmetic, because that's what it is. It says, okay, if I took down this many cubic, you know, inches or whatever of trees, I got to somehow put up that many cubic inches. And it just doesn't seem like it's logical. And if so they end up waiving it all the time, then they really need to go back and take a look at what they wrote in the first place. But they control it. So I don't know that we want to go back and rewrite this whole thing.
No, I mean, our piece, you know, seems sensible, but maybe we could just, yeah, I think your idea is good.
So do we feel ready to vote on this? Anybody have anything else to contribute?
Can I ask a question on the personal use? For the identification, I'm trying to find the section. I guess, is there, or was it discussed, like the potential for like, if there's a one, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it's like if you're doing a project and you have one tree and you're going to replace it, is it necessary to have the like certified arborist come out, perform an inspection of all the trees and like submit the report? And then, because I mean, I think it would not be surprising to be spending thousands of dollars on like a report where, you know, you're like having to cut down an oak tree and you're going to plant a new oak tree 20 feet away. Just seems like practically, if there's a way to like use,
is this the honor system or that's a good question.
Or like if you're taking down if you're taking down five mature trees, then I think that's like a different story. But if it's like there's some threshold that like you don't need to get like a third party certification or inspection.
So this is, I'm just looking through, I'm assuming this is the existing language, paragraph G, consultant, where it's the village shall at its discretion have the right to retain professional tree consultant to review preservation plans. Is that what you're referring
to? I think it was
3G is what I'm.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
That I was looking at a difference. I think it was
the village right to inspection. I thought you said inspection.
Written statement.
Yeah, sorry, I'm getting mixed up on where it was. I thought it was like a section on sort of species certification by an arborist. I'm mixing up the memo with the draft language, though.
And that's basically, there is a list of species in here, and then we also reference the sort of broader external list. There's a species list within the zoning code, and then we reference this sort of broader external list. And that would be a village staff arborist could point them to that and then allow the resident to make a selection from a variety of species.
Okay. So I might have been
all of which are readily available in the area.
Yeah. Okay. So there's not, the village isn't going to like hold up the process until the inspection is okay. All right.
Seth, I'm wondering, does the first paragraph of the ordinance need to be modified, updated? Because it says the requirements of this chapter shall apply to multifamily residence buildings, commercial institution, governments. And then the only mention of private residence is only those provisions of this chapter related to subsection 1024. 4B, parkway landscaping of this chapter shall apply to single family.
So I add the in the draft and section 10-24-5 tree preservation.
Okay. So the 1024-5. Okay. Gotcha. So, yep. Okay. Yep.
And then everything else amended here is within that section.
Yeah, I didn't get that far. Okay. Thank you. Do we need to leave in, I mean, since we're modifying, do we need to leave in that next little bit about plans which were approved before 2002? That's like 23 years ago.
Yeah,
you just don't want to mess with it.
Don't want to get too far in the weeds with messing with the zoning code. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's some typos we can fix now.
All right, so are we ready to vote?
Do we have a motion?
I motion to make a recommendation to the Village Board of Trustees to proceed with the text amendment related to tree preservation.
Perfect word. Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. 6-0, that will be recommended to the board. Next item of business was continued discussion about the community recognition sustainability stuff. I had mentioned before the meeting, Ben had emailed me. He was working on some stuff. He could not make it tonight. He said he would have something to sort of present to the group next month, but I didn't know if you all wanted to discuss anything, if you all had any additional thoughts. I did not have anything within my packet specifically related to this agenda item.
My suggestion would be if anybody does, get them back to Ben so he can incorporate them.
Let me pull up my email here. See what his exact words were. Yeah, so he said, I have been working on the Sustainability Awards and nomination form for people to share stories of environmental achievements in the community, and we'll be able to share it next month's meeting. So, yeah, any thoughts? That seems to be where he's focusing this at right now. And then, yeah, if you need his contact information, Gary, Susan, and I all have it. We can share so you guys can connect one-on-one. Moving on to the next items of business. first one, and Susan was able to connect a resident whose name I'm blanking on right now.
Christy Hunt.
Christy, yes, I've been exchanging emails with Christy all week. So we are, she had found a group called EcoShip. They seek to collect and then reuse packaging materials, boxes.
They make them available to small businesses.
Yeah. And before it even goes into the recycling process, just collect this material and then immediately donate it for reuse to small businesses to help them save on packaging materials, to prevent, you know, things from going into the waste cycle or even the recycling cycle, and just sort of hit that immediate reuse. So we signed up. We are going to have a donation box here at Village Hall for the month of April. It should actually be coming March 25th or something, I believe was the date I was given, to collect all of these materials. I do somewhere have, oh, I think it's actually up on the Village website. Let me pull this up and share with you all.
This is for packing supplies only?
Yes. Yeah. There's a few other items.
Mailers, things like that. Yeah.
So here is the blurb I put up on the website. It was initially going to run in this week's newsletter. It's now going to run next week. The, just for your awareness, green energy aggregation program mailers are going out on Thursday. So that will be the newsletter and the social media post this weekend, just so residents can see that as those mailers are hitting their inbox, just to sort of minimize the number of calls coming into me. But here's a quick overview of what EcoShip does. And then I've got linked here the... Oop, that's... all of the various materials that they collect. So bubble wrap, packing peanuts, packing paper, the shredded packing paper, foam sheets, any of these sort of added bubble wrap sort of products. They also include a number of other items, reusable bags, shoes was for some reason on their list, which... empty ink cartridges, but yeah, bread tags,
plastic utensils,
unused plastic utensils, so clean plastic utensils. And I'm assuming it's because, like the bread tags, it's a small but hard plastic that can be sort of easily repurposed. And then it does sort of larger styrofoam, torn, dirty, sort of the labeled FedEx, UPS, and USPS labeled things, and then loose plastic films and bags are things not accepted. So, yeah, this will be available. I'll, once the box gets here and I can see the size of it, assess whether it'll be upstairs in the lobby or downstairs by the battery drop box and prescription drop box, what makes most sense. But it'll be open for residents to come in, drop off their materials, and we'll hope to have, I think it's, they're supplying us with 5 large bags to fill up to in the container, and hopefully we'll be full by the end of the month.
Seth, you may not know this, but things like boxes, you know, many of them come with stamp printed of the company. Like, I get tons of Chewy boxes and Amazon boxes. Are those included? They want those other company logos on them?
Yeah. So they said those logos, and then any of the like labels for like the addresses, those will all be covered up. They just don't want the sort of shipping company logo ones.
Okay.
Just to avoid confusion with those. But yeah, anything else? Yeah. One of the things that, the first sort of questions they have, and they, I was forwarded all the sort of informational resource, and we'll continue to put this all out. But yeah, any sort of personal identification labels, like the to or from addresses, will all be covered up, anything like that for the boxes.
Maybe it'd be worth specifically kind of calling that out, because somebody will say, well, wait a minute, it says Amazon, that's okay, but post office isn't. But it makes perfect sense because otherwise, maybe you think it should be going to FedEx when you're sending it some other way. So that, you know,
yeah,
it would be good to be pretty
specific.
Yeah.
They sent me a link to a whole sort of library of PDF resources. And so I'll be sure as I'm putting out social media posts, because I want to have this sort of semi-frequently to allow people over the next few weeks to sort of build up their supply to donate, make sure that's included. And I'll even probably tomorrow morning add that to this link on the website, which is going to sort of serve, I might expand this out and just have this sort of serve as the permanent link to refer back to for the next couple of months.
Well, I've had some experience in our condo building trying to get people, because, you know, I'm privately, you know, recycling batteries and plastic bags. And my husband and I take them over to Har Zion or bring the batteries here. But I found that people go, well, you know, I have trouble keeping track of, I don't quite understand. And I go, well, here's why, you know, here's why this works and that doesn't work and why we do it this way and so on. Oh, okay. That makes sense. And I'm seem to be getting better compliance once they understand the logic behind it. And that's why I suggested it. Otherwise, it seems like you've got to memorize it. It's rote. It's arbitrary, you know, and they don't get it.
Is this going to be communicated to the schools? I feel like this is an easy thing to, like, for the kids to bring in, you know, some packing stuff to, you know, their second grade classroom teacher and have a competition or something. Because everybody gets these Amazon
Peanuts Day.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good idea. I think big question would just be getting it from the schools over to here, but yeah, there's somebody sort of.
They have some like Go Green clubs there that might be able to.
Oh yeah, Green for Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And can I forward this to you because you have a connection with?
Yes.
You have a contact there.
Yes, I will send it to him.
Perfect.
Are they active though in all schools? I feel like they're not.
I think Roosevelt is.
Roosevelt is.
Roosevelt. They would probably be the most responsive, I would think.
True.
But yeah. I can reach out to the other ones and see if there's a connection. Or maybe the people at Roosevelt know.
Yeah. What, AJ?
I think Lincoln has Green for Good, too.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
I know about Willard, but.
Yeah.
No, Roosevelt does.
I'll try to. They update every year, but I'll try to get a connection there.
Okay. I have the connection for Roosevelt if you need
it. Who's the connection?
I'm forgetting her name.
Okay. She was on our call once. Yeah. She might be in my books.
Okay.
Okay.
And I did get information for the bike exchange. And so I know there's a contact related to that. I'm not sure if it's the same person, but
it's a social worker.
Is there such thing as bike helmet recycling?
That is a good question. Well, that's one I have not received. I would need to.
I have so many of them.
Look into that.
I don't think they do bike helmet recycling because bike helmets actually they do expire because the foam stops working. So like they can't judge if a helmet still works or not without like probably testing it and dropping it, which then it wouldn't work after that. So I don't think they do.
There is a big extravaganza coming up at it's in the forest preserves. I think it's in April. I'll try as soon as I hear about that, I'll circulate it. But they recycle all kinds of things, so that could be a possibility.
But I wonder if it might be possible to recycle just the underlying materials. Because I'm thinking of the car seat with Target, which should be coming up in April. Now, by the way, Seth, I've been checking their site periodically, and it just says, "Hey, it's closed for now until 2025."
And so, you did send me the link.
But I'll keep on it to see when they actually. Because you don't want to send anybody there until there's actually information for this year. But if they can take that apart and recycle individual materials, a helmet seems kind of similar. I wonder if there's anybody doing that. Yeah, because there's got to be a boatload of helmets. Yeah, because they don't last forever.
Yeah. I just did a quick Google search. Doesn't seem like there's an org or anything. But who knows? Maybe I'll start one.
Well, if we figure out how it could, you know, be taken apart and the materials.
Yeah, I'm on the Bicycle Helmet Safety Institute's website. And can my bicycle helmet be recycled? Recycling the EPS foam in most bicycle helmets is not easy. There are no recycling programs for bicycle helmets that we know of, are the first two sentences. So,
but I wonder, people that do the car seats, doesn't it seem kind of like a similar thing?
Depends on materials. Yeah. Car seats, that's like a nylon material and that stuff.
But there's stuffing and there's hard plastic.
Stuff
and
probably isn't recycled, I guess. But some of the stuff that they can recycle, they will. If this is, I won't go into the details of it, but certain types of plastic, once it's used, it's good for nothing but putting in asphalt. So.
It'd be interesting, though, to if I could get to somebody that does the car seats to find out if, I mean, yeah, maybe the foam wouldn't, but maybe the plastic, I don't know if the plastic.
What it's made out of. There's different types of plastic materials. Yeah. Not all the same. There's some that, you know, like nylon, for example, nylon is the same thing as used in an engine that's used on your carpeting here. So they can recycle that so many times. Automotive companies only allow you to do it one time, but carpeting lasts forever. But some plastic materials, you get one shot with it, and it's good for nothing but churning it up and mixing it with asphalt, because you cannot reuse it. You can't re-inject it or remold it. So it all depends on what it's made of. I don't know what those things are made of.
Maybe we could have a sculpture made out of bicycle helmets.
Bunch of adhesive. And,
probably only use a couple of dozen, but, you know, sort of like, remember the car sculpture down in Berwyn that was in the, and we can do something with helmets. Was it? Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
Opening scene. It's like clearly driving through. It's like Wicker Park and like Cermak Road. It's all supposed to be Aurora.
Yeah. Maybe we could turn it into planters or something. You know, turn it upside down. Seems like a challenge we ought to be able to rise to. You know.
Yeah. Plenty of kids running around without helmets. Just stick it, put them on the kids' heads.
True.
They're all in my garage.
Of our generation, we didn't have helmets.
So moving on to the next item, we had discussed adding compost drop-off locations at the water pumping station in the Public Works garage. I talked with Jack, our Public Works Director, and his response was, yes, do it. I was able to dig up the design and the original file for the sign that was printed out here. Because of the number of color components, we can't print it in-house, so I just need to find a sign printer who can make it. I could not figure out where this was, the initial one was printed at, but I took that initial file, updated some of the heading for the locations, and then I'm assuming these new ones will not be dedicated to Julie Moeller, who has not been on the commission since I've been with the village. So.
Do you think it's essential that we adhere to the colors?
No, I think they can be sort of whatever, updated as needed. The big thing that I think sort of in talking with Jack about this is the sign out here has got the sort of River Forest logo at the top. It's got the, and really to keep that and even printing that logo, you know, our sign maker down at Public Works can do at most two colors at one time. After that, it gets a little more complicated. So,
Seth, the yard waste. I mean, I know that's all compostable, but do they want yard waste composted there? That'd be the question I would
have. So, yeah, I had put in the descriptions of Chicago's and Oak Park's programs. Neither of those accept yard waste. Some people will drop off
bags of it.
Some, yeah, it's not huge amounts. I did see probably 15 months ago or so, one individual pull up, open up their trunk, and throw out a bunch of old Christmas wreaths into the compost bins here. But other than that, it's mostly, I would say, like, there might be small paper bags full of, you know, flower pot materials and things like that, mixed in with food scraps is large. And then soiled paper is a lot of what goes into these ones out front here. So, you know, soiled paper, food scraps, all this stuff is accepted as part of our broader village composting program. So I think if, I mean, I defer to you all, if people do throw in yard waste, it will still be accepted, but I don't think we want to, you know, sort of encourage that as opposed to
buy your bag and put
Out. Your bag, put your sticker and put it out by the curb sort of approach. So, yeah, I think if we.
Do you want to leave it off the sign?
I think that might be the sort of approach, and at least in the educational materials, more sort of focus on the smaller volume organic scraps. And that'll be, we'll have the two other locations. I do need to reach out to LRS just to get the carts there, but I was going to have one compost cart and one garbage cart immediately adjacent to it to start, just to prevent people from throwing the garbage into the carts. And then as we monitor the participation at the two new locations, we can see if additional compost carts are going to be located, will need to be located there. So in terms of location, for the public works garage, it's going to be sort of right off the sidewalk, just at the corner of the building there near where the fuel pumps are located, if you're familiar with that. So it'll be,
where's the intersection? I'm sorry.
It's
Forest.
Yeah, 45 Forest. Forest just north of Madison. So, so yeah, if you're sort of walking up the south end of the garage, there's the parking lot for the staff, and then there's a fuel pump for all of the vehicles. And so we'd have just sort of abutted right up against the wall there. And then we'd actually probably, I'd probably have the garbage can placed closer to the sidewalk. So when people, just to sort of act as that initial deterrent, and then, you know, the people who are coming there to compost, it'll be very clear, visible. And then for the pumping station, it'll be sort of off to the side. There's the driveway sort of thing off to the side, which really you'll occasionally see one of our water vans parked there, but that's really all it's used for. We rarely ever have a vehicle pulling into the pump station. So it will be sort of visible from the sidewalk off to the side, and then easy for our crew and LRS to get to and service. So,
to your point, I do like the idea of taking off food waste this time, or yard waste, but would it make it more confusing for the one here, and people might go back and forth and be like, what's what, or should we just deal with it?
And I think, you know, we've got the existing sign here. It already says yard waste, and we have four carts here, whereas we're just going to, at least to start off with, have one big cart at each of the other two locations. So I think the purpose is for those things that aren't, you know, the yard waste collection is open to all residents, you know, April through start of December, but we don't want food scraps going into the paper bags. We don't want things like that. So this sort of creates an additional sort of lower barrier for people who are motivated to compost.
Well, and couldn't we do a blurb in the newsletter that says, hey, you've got this over here, but then we've also got these satellites, and here's what you can do there versus here.
Yeah.
And just call it out. Because that's a good point, Manolo. People are likely to get confused otherwise.
So, yeah, I will work on this sort of signage design, get the food scrap, or not the food scrap, the yard waste portion removed, but just make sure everything's sort of clearly labeled otherwise, and my goal is some point in the next, month to get that printed up, finalized, out certainly before the end of the fiscal year. So by the end of April, and we'll start publicizing this once it's all up and out. And I didn't want to reach out to LRS too early until I sort of had the signage in place, because I don't want the carts there and then not have the signage ready to go. But yeah, I will get that going and then keep you all updated with that. And then last item I wanted to update on, and I had sort of talked. So the village received a grant back in November that we were awarded the grant. We'll be receiving it this year to help with some of our parkway tree planting. It's through CN Railway and a group called America in Bloom. So one of the conditions of the grant is to participate in America in Bloom's Level 3 program. It is more work than I was expecting. So there's going to be a media event to promote the grant at some point this summer, I believe June 23rd. We're just going to be doing a tree planting ceremony when we identify sort of a more photogenic public location for one of our parkway tree planting locations for this spring and summer. So that is pretty straightforward. It was not what I was sort of initially hoping for. I was really hoping it would be closer to Arbor Day and to do it. We do our annual Arbor Day Tree City USA tree planting ceremony with one of the schools at one of their properties. And I thought that would have been a good one, but then they reached out and they said, we're coming in June. So that's happening there. And then the program that we have to participate in is this overall community beautification impact. I sort of outlined it all in the memo, all the different things, and included all the metrics they're looking at. And so there are going to be two volunteer advisors from American Bloom coming out at some point in the summer, date TBD, for a 2-day tour of the village. So I'm hoping to, at least for a portion of one day, sort of kick things over to the Historic Preservation Commission and my colleague Luke, who is the staff liaison for them, to help with that aspect of it. But wanted to get your all input on places to potentially highlight any community partners that we should connect them with. Any thoughts? Yeah.
Concordia has a new student garden that they're trying to launch. So I can, the librarian's heading it up.
She had emailed me last
Diesel.
Week.
She's relentless. She'll probably email you 7 more times.
Yes. So she had actually reached out last, probably late summer, early fall, asking about compost. I explained when the compost program ran. And then I think I told her, like, it typically goes out like mid to late March. And I think I got an email like March 3rd or 4th. So, that is a good call.
And the gardens too, I'm sorry. The park district community gardens too. Isn't there?
Yes, those are actually at the, behind the pump station.
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah.
Actually, that was a collaboration with us over time. They've kind of dropped that off. Oh, and I did have a question about that. They, this is the community garden park district. They doubled the fee this year, and the only real usage there is water. And so I wanted to bring that to attention in case you would like to open a conversation about, you know, what exactly they're doing with that fee and, you know. No, I just think since the only ongoing fee is the water, then that should be going to the village. You know, really all they do is they sign people up, they sign the garden, and then they go like this.
How many people are using the garden? Have you
a little over 30. I think it's 32.
30. Okay.
So, yeah, I would say the community garden. Then there's the edible gardens. I can get you the locations of those. There's one at Temple Har Zion, Thatcher Trailside. There's one across the street at Little Bits. I think there are two more. And then I think there are I can get you the exact number, but there were the 55 Parkway Pollinator Gardens.
Oh, I do remember that. So I am applying. I sort of mentioned this, the grant that had funded that initial Parkway Pollinator thing. Applying for that, hoping to just sort of get some extra funds or to boost the bioswale cleanup.
Yep. And that was my next item, was the bioswales.
We're getting some quotes from new different landscape contractors for what the maintenance and sort of revamping of all of that will be. So also going to be putting in some grant money to hope get that. And then one of the other things I had mentioned in this memo that's sort of a goal that I'm hoping that can sort of lead to is there's these various designations. B City USA is one I know Ben had mentioned. Triton has the B Campus designation. It's similar to the Tree City USA one that we've been consistently doing since like 1998, I think was the first year. There's also a Bird City, Illinois through the Audubon Society. And then one that I was highlighted at a recent Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus meeting is the National Wildlife Federation's Mayor's Monarch Pledge, which seems like a pretty straightforward one. It's free participation. You just have to commit to doing, I think it's three of the items. And I included the whole 30 item checklist in the packet. And if you get eight items, you sort of advance to the second tier. So I was going to be, talking to the village president, because she's the one who actually has to sort of officially submit it, but to do this for the village this year, and then we'll just need to submit a report at the end of the year. But I think with the revamp of the Chicago bioswales and some native and sort of pollinator-friendly plantings there, that along with sort of some increased communication regarding native plants and pollinator benefits, it can sort of easily be achieved. And it's one of the items that it made reference to the community survey that the overwhelming most popular subjects were wildlife and green spaces. So seemed like a two or three birds with one stone sort of approach there, and hoping to tie all of these things together, as many of them as I can.
Yeah, if you plant the right stuff, then the bees, the butterflies, and the birds may love it. Yes. You know?
Right.
You get a threefer.
Do you have an update on how many people have responded to this today?
I will need to check. I just closed it about a week and a half ago. So I can actually just send you guys out after this the full sort of survey results. I cannot remember the exact number.
I feel like you said at least 160 at some point, like it had passed 160.
Yes.
Which is about, 50% more than what we initially looked at.
Yeah. So we got a big second wave of respondents to it. I can share that. And if we want to, we can discuss in further detail at next month's meeting. But it was really surprising good response there. I know, it got plugged in the newsletter even a few times after that I wasn't aware it was being plugged in the newsletter. And then the village president, one of the trustees, had plugged it a few times at some village board meetings as well. So.
Okay, so back to your America in Bloom. I doubt if anybody's going to forgive you for a while. Signing up that expensive.
Yes.
Something we need to track in here. Updating in here?
I'm sort of going to be the one taking on the sort of administrative responsibilities, and I can give you all updates. More what I'm looking for you guys is suggestions and contacts for these potential locations of people, so it's not just, me with two strangers pulling up and standing outside of some location. If there's sort of knowledgeable people with these specific projects that can speak to the projects themselves, that would be helpful.
I know We tried connecting with Adrian, but she never responded to us.
From West Cook Wild.
West Cook Wild. Yeah, but it might be good to reach back out.
Sorry.
Stephanie Walkwist, who we reached out with, we might want to try her instead. She might respond. I don't know.
A few years back, actually, it must be more than four because we were still in our house. My husband and I went to an event at Thatcher Woods. Now, I don't know what group sponsored it, but it was all about monarchs. So they had handouts and stuff. And the other thing they did, which was really cool, was milkweed bombs. So you take some dirt compost or something. I don't know exactly what the mixture was, but soil and seeds, and you make a sphere. It's a bomb. And the idea is you can toss it, you know, and it plants itself, I guess, to put milkweed. And there were kids there, you know, who were, hey, wow, this is really cool. Let's, you know, I mean, it was quite an event. They had monarchs too. I don't remember all the details, but there were a lot of different things. And there's like a field house at Thatcher Woods. And so that, you know, it was both inside and outside. And actually the weather was terrible, but it was amazing the turnout they had for this. And as I say, I don't know what the group was, but
yeah, so that's a monarch festival. They have it every fall, I believe it's in September. We could try to advertise it. And more recently, they've also brought in, like, they have Aztec dancers because they tie in the migration with, you know, the place that they end up in.
What group is it that's...
The Forest Preserve itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then they bring in other organizations. So they have other people represented there. But, yeah, they do that every year, and they do a really great job. We should try to advertise it this fall.
Well, and I was thinking... you know, in terms of getting people to plant milkweed, because people think of it as a weed, you know, maybe, I don't know, a contest or something, have people take pictures of the milkweed in their yard or, you know, get the kids involved, maybe something through the library. Because that's the only thing that monarchs eat, right, is milkweed. We need more milkweed. Can we plant some milkweed in some of our little...
Well, that is one of my... sort of big pushes is for the bioswales. I was like, we need milkweed, we need native pollinator plants, and like I've been starting to just sort of bookmark various resources, and even you know, I know a few months ago we had the sort of tree care guide that we put on the Sustainability Commission. I was thinking of just doing something similar for sort of native planting and pollinator planting, and having that as just another sort of sub page on the sustainability guide of just links to permanent resources and reputable resources for the topic.
Maybe collect milkweed seeds and, you know, have them available or something.
And like there's a lot of the sort of suggested activities. I think one was like a seed or plant exchange.
Which is going on right now at the library, if anybody wants to participate in that.
So yeah, any ideas you guys have you want to promote, include in the newsletter website, anything like that, let me know. And
well, I wonder if, you know, the library does a single topic kind of display of books in the lobby on the first floor there. I wonder how many books there are about monarchs and milkweed and, you know. That'd be interesting to help educate people as to how to do this stuff.
Would the library be one of the community partners you'd want to?
I think so, yeah. I think that would be.
And we brought this up a couple of times, but the planters along Lake Street, not so much as a showcase of what we have done, but like as a possibility of what could contain pollinator and native plants.
there a budget to fill those planters, or is that the grant that you were referring to?
So that's part of our just sort of
exploration
general contractual landscaping budget. So it's just sort of all one budget line item within sort of public works contractual services, and it's supposed to cover sort of Chicago Avenue, the Lake Street planters, Village Hall, the sort of signs coming into town in the area right by those. So just all the sort of general publicly maintained areas.
Does our staff do that, or do we outsource to landscaping services?
Mostly landscaping. It's outsourced landscaping sometimes. Depending on the budget and staff possibilities, like they could send, you know, a seasonal public works employee over to sort of mow the grass in some of the areas and things like that.
Because the trouble with landscaping companies is trying to get them to plant something other than what they want to plant. You know,
yeah, and that's something.
Getting them to plant milkweed, like, well, I won't mention any names, but, you know, I've had issues with our landscaping company trying to see if we can get them to do something a little bit more ecologically appropriate.
Well, unfortunately, there's a disincentive because they want to plant every year, so they don't want to, you know, they don't want to plant natives that are.
Yeah, they don't want to plant for any.
But I mean, that can be part of the contract that they.
Yeah, and even with the sort of last round of the Lake Street planters, I think they had switched from largely annuals to a lot more perennials.
Yeah, I noticed when I walked down to the hairdresser that there's a lot more perennials.
All of a sudden, there was a lot more positive comments that just because it happened to even look nicer. So, yeah, I think there's certainly ways with the contract to, work in additional native planting and to sort of gradually build that out over time.
You may want to look at some way to dress up the corner of Lathrop and Lake before they come.
Yeah, well, I'd like to, you know, they planted grass down on Madison where the, you know, took out the, I forgot what it was, but it's all fenced in and everything. Yeah, well, how about that? I mean, grass, give me a break. That's a big chunk of property. You could do a great pollinator garden in there.
I mean, the whole idea is they want to sell and build it there. They're not trying to.
Well, but until they do.
I mean, they bought people's homes to put that there.
Don't get me started. Yeah. Yeah. Lake and Lathrop, they're supposed to be getting the bank to clean it up and take down the partial thing. And yeah, I was thinking that'd be a great place to put something green for the time being. I go over and plant. I mean, you know, you get me the plants and I'll go over there and toss them over the fence. Civil disobedience.
Only other thing I had, I will share my screen again. We for the next couple months have pretty full communications built in, and I will try and plug additional things as much as I can and double up as much as I can. But we've got Bike Exchange, Arbor Day, Earth Day, Earth Month, which I plan on sort of having incorporating all of the various events going on. I was planning to plug the tree guide in a couple weeks, and then even getting into May, I know we had talked about promoting Bike Month and sort of the bike repair maintenance things brought up. There's also Compost Awareness Week, Migratory Bird Day, and then the Household Hazardous Waste sign up. I did try to plug in National Butterfly Day and Plant a Flower Day this week, but I was sort of triple stacked in addition to that. So,
well, I have a radical idea. Maybe we should have, in this season with so much stuff, a newsletter that's all green. And then I don't remember exactly what color all the logos and things are, but just make it all green and have a green issue, or maybe have an extra issue and have an all green issue.
I unfortunately do not control the communication stuff. I just sort of pass over the articles to be printed.
Well, I'd be willing to call somebody if you give me a name and make the suggestion.
Problem is, somebody would have to put that, you know what I mean? Someone would have to write it,
yeah, there,
format it. It's
would be, maybe got lots of, it could be all blurbs.
Yeah. Maybe that could be done more easily through social media. Maybe they would give us a little more exposure on the social media.
Yeah, so someplace in here, I think you want to plug in those two grants you talked about, the work you're doing with the bioswells. And
yeah, so I want to ideally get awarded those and stuff.
Oh,
so I know.
Okay, so we haven't got the railroad one yet either?
That one is awarded. So once that one is, like, once we've done the planting and I think the that will probably go in this on the end of June, because that's when they are coming out.
Okay.
But yeah, and then once the other one's awarded, that one will be plugged in as well. And then, yeah, so that is something that I think the first one was a couple years ago. We had, I think, maybe it was Trustee Gillis had sent along information on it initially. But then had just run it as a small weekly blurb and then expanded it out to the monthly article last year. And I think we could probably even expand it further to sort of focus on reducing plastic waste for the whole month if we had additional ideas and blurbs that we could tie in there. You know, the summer is a great time for a lot of things. You know, there's promote water conservation, energy conservation things as well. There's, you know, air conditioner use, water use all spike up, especially June and July. So, yeah, no shortage of topics there, but yeah, all of your input and ideas, let me know and we can run with it. And then only other update I had, just so you all are aware of, for the EV charging station stuff, the project is still going, the design stuff, the firm doing the design has their on-site meetings with ComEd in 2 days, this Thursday. So I think we should have sort of approvals for all the equipment purchases and stuff coming really soon. The one sort of potential delay is how long it's going to take for new transformers from ComEd for each location, but it is sort of humming along and we're still looking to have everything in some point. I'm hoping late spring, early summer, but some point in the middle of this year.
That topic is somewhere, right? Or not yet?
Not yet.
It will be plotted in. Okay.
Yeah. And then I have sort of, as we get closer to that, have been compiling information on just what other communities do for electricity rates for charging. We're going to sort of need a big shift in our charging model, especially with the direct current fast chargers. So I'll have that sort of, as we get further along in that process, have that for this commission to discuss, really, so we can just hit the ground running with everything there. But that is all I've got, so I will open it up if there's any other business.
I've heard Gary whimpering for a while. I think he might have something to
didn't move tonight.
No, nothing else.
All right. I will tomorrow morning send out the full survey results for all of you to take a look at. And I know, Gary, you before wanted just sort of like the hard data. Would anybody else be interested in that? I can just sort of send them both out, BCC.
Yeah.
Wanted to take a look. I'm going to sort of go in and delete IP addresses and things like that beforehand. But yeah, all the... you can see how the individual survey respondents come down if you really wanted to dive into the spreadsheets and We can talk about that some next month, and I should have some more updates with all of the ongoing stuff, and hopefully we will have two new compost drop-off facilities by that time.
I guess before we break, one quick question, and I'll get into a lot of discussion. Any update on when the blower stuff's going forward?
I have not heard any indication. I guess it was raised briefly at last night's meeting. The one thing I just very briefly talked about it with Matt, the village administrator, today. I'm assuming April, because I'm just going to be out of town come our next March meeting. So wouldn't be able to discuss unless they want to sort of go at it without me, which I wouldn't mind. But it apparently still is on the radar of the board. And yeah, I'm going to sort of knock on wood and hope for the first April meeting. And maybe they're all worn down from the budget and give us an easy Earth Month win for that one. So
yeah, I saw Trustee Gillis at the Zays. They were having a birthday party, and I asked her that question. She was like, apparently mayor or president, which one is right, Seth?
President? They're interchangeable, but
yeah. President Adusi said in her state of the state that that's one of their priorities. So yeah, that would be a good Earth Month win. But yeah.
And I have gotten a couple calls, mostly from just like landscape contractors, just asking like, do I need to be aware of anything? Like one guy I talked to last week's like, I just need to know what I need to be prepared for going into this spring and summer. I'm like, we're even what was proposed, which hasn't been voted on yet, would still not take effect until next year. We will give you plenty of notice. There was one telling people that we were going to, remove Parkway leaf collection and all these other things to try and sound like drum up fear against this. And I was like, no, that's what Oak Park did. We're haven't even discussed that, sort of reassured, but the resident was pretty worked up about it when they called, and had to sort of correct a lot of the information they had been given by their landscape contractors. So, but yeah, that's where that's at. And then, ideally that will all be past the day before our next meeting, I think. So,
but you've had no other input from anybody saying that.
I have not had anything, since we had last spoken about it. So, yeah, and I think I can't remember if I included this in our memo. Oh, yeah, next meeting will be April 8th. So, earliest potential date for second Tuesday of the month.
That's true.
And with that, unless anyone has anything else, we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon? Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:19.